Good morning. We've spent the last few weeks learning the sugya of Ani Ma'atid B'Charara. And there we dealt with questions of interfering with a specific deal. There was a particular piece of property, a particular client, a job that was up for grabs. One person was negotiating. So interfering with that deal is a question of Ani Ma'atid B'Charara. Today, we're going to move on to the next category, and that is a question of Hasagos Gevul. Hasagos Gevul is a much broader question, and that is, when can I go into competition with another Yid? We're not talking about the specifics, a particular deal, a particular piece of property. We're talking about opening a business, general competition. Now, this particular topic happens to people tend to get very emotional about. If you took a poll, if I went around the Beis Medrash and asked people whether they believe that communism or capitalism was better, most people would be very happy to start lecturing you about how wonderful the free market society is and competition is good for everyone. And they'll continue lecturing to you until a Walmart opens in their neighborhood. Suddenly then, they seem to rediscover all the ills of capitalism. They start talking to you about buying American, and they have a very different attitude. The Chazon Ish makes this point, and he makes this point by describing a tshuva that there was a little shtetl in Europe, and this shtetl there was a melamed who used to teach all the children, and he had been in the shtetl for decades. Not only was he teaching the children, he had most of the parents had at one point been his students, and as time went on. One day, a new Malamed moved into town. This new Malamed was younger, better graphics on his papers, and the way things work, people suddenly went to try something new, something fresh. And this old Malamed found himself, he was too old to move, he couldn't adapt, and he started losing all of his students, he started losing his parnasa. So there's a tremendous machlokes in town. Some people jumped to the defense of this old Malamed, he had been there faithfully serving the town for decades. How could this young person come in and destroy his parnasa, destroy his cheder? And they made a macho. Other people defended the new one. We have to worry about our child's chinuch. It's free competition, and it was a huge machloikus. Ultimately, the camp that was supporting the old Malamed discovered that the new Malamed was, his green card had expired, he was an illegal alien. They went to the government and they had him deported. So, who is the roidif and who's the nerdif? Who's the victim and who's the Russia in this story? So in any given town, you'll have some askanim jumping on one side, some askanim jumping on the other side. Zog the Chazon Ish, it's a simple halacha shayla. And it's a halacha that depends on the sugya that we saw today and on the next amud, how to deal with Hasagos Gevul with a malamed. If the halacha is that there's an Isser Hasagos Gevul, then it's pasha. The old malamed is right, the new malamed had no right to come to town, and whatever steps were taken were appropriate. On the other hand, if the halacha is not like that, the halacha is that by a malamed there's no din of Hasagos Gevul, then whatever anyone did to protect the old malamed is a roidif. Had no right to do it. So before making a decision, before making any hachlotas or getting involved, you have to first sit down and simply determine what the halacha is. And that's what we'll, Mirtz Hashem, hopefully do today. Okay, that's true. There's a ma'arik which we'll get to, and it wasn't straight masira, but fair enough. The Gemara begins, Amar Rav Huna, Hai Bar Mavua, Doki Reche, V'Asa Bar Mavua, Achavre, V'Kamuki Gabe, Dinu D'Kumak Abo Uluya. If one person in a mavoi, in an alleyway, has a rechayim, he's busy grinding things for people, another person wants to open a competition across the street in the same mavoi, the halach is, according to Rav Huna, you have the right to stop him. Now the Gemara goes back and forth, rayas, whether this is true, whether you have the right to prevent a competitor from coming in or not. Ultimately, at the bottom of the Amud, Rav Huna Brev Rabbi Yeshua paskins that that's not true. That if you have a store, if you have a business, and a local person wants to compete with you, they have every right to do so. And the concept of Hasagos Gvul does not apply. However, Rav Huna says that this applies only if your competition is local. There, the same way you have your parnasa, your neighbor also needs a parnasa. So, if he wants to open the same business, let him do it. However, if a competitor wants to move in from out of town, if he is a lav bar masa, then the halacha is different. Then the local businesses have the right to say, don't come here. You live out of town, you want to do business, do it over there. Don't come to our town to ruin our businesses. And this is the halacha. And this comes up today, it's most common. There are many stores in established and older communities, Borough Park, Flatbush, that they want to branch out. And what they very often will happen is they'll have a child that moves to Lakewood, to Psaic, to a younger community, and they'll have them open a branch of the store. Now, assuming the store is owned and really, the owner of the store is the parents that live in Borough Park or Flatbush, whatever it is. And now they want to open a branch in Lakewood, Passaic, in another community, and compete with the local businesses. According to this Gemara, it would seem the halacha is you have the right to stop them. They're out of town, they're not locals, and you should have the right to stop them. Now, there was a fascinating story a couple of years ago involved there was a small community, and we have a bunch of, it was a growing community. Whenever you have Jews, you need wine. So someone enterprising young man opened up a wine store in his garage. Nothing fancy. It was, you know, Concord, cream red Malaga, Concord grape, basic wines for Kiddush. And he ran a little operation out of his garage. The years went by, the community grew, and someone decided he's going to go ahead. He bought a liquor license, rented a huge store, and opened up a massive liquor store. He didn't have the capital to do it on his own, so he ended up with an out-of-town investor. And he opened up. As soon as he opened up, the fellow in the garage started feeling the competition. People suddenly don't want to buy the wine in the garage. They want to go to this big, nice, fancy store. So he brought this person to a din Torah. And he said, Sasagas Gvul. I was here first. I had my parnasa. You have no right to come from out of town and interfere with my parnasa. So the Beis Din had to deal with two very interesting questions. The first question is that while it's clear in the Gemara, if someone from out of town wants to open up, you have the right to stop them. What happens if there's a partnership? There's an outside investor that owns half the store, and there's a local person who's also a partner. He also owns half the store. So what's the halacha there? So there's a true Menachla Shiva, Chelik Beis, Simon Beis, that deals with a partnership. And what he says is this halacha applies only when the store is owned entirely by a foreigner, by someone who lives outside of the community. Then we say you're a lav bar masa, you have no right to open over here. However, if it's a partnership, there's a local partner, then this halacha will not apply. Now, the Menachla Shiva doesn't give exact guidelines. You do occasionally have cases where people, you know, there are people who come for Shabbos, you know, for they have issues of having a business open on Shabbos. They have a Shabbos guy who's a partner. So now we have a Hasagos Gvul guy, where you find someone local and you give him a couple of percentage points and you say he's a partner. So it's not clear in halacha exactly what level of ownership he needs. The Nachla Shiva's case actually is a bit extreme. It sounds like a 6%. In these cases, the local was earning a 6% commission, and he seems to say that that's fine. I don't know if a Beis Din today will accept a 6% as a reasonable split, but I'll call upon him if there's a partnership, as long as there's someone local who's benefiting, these halachas do not apply. Oh, so now, over here, when it comes to these stores that are branching out to different communities, we'll have to look. If the store is owned by the parents, by the original store, we have a problem with Hasagos Gvul. But if what's happening is whenever their children move to a community, their children open up and their children are partners in this particular venture, now there's a local shotif, and then the halacha of lav bar masa would not apply, and there would be nothing wrong with them opening a competition.
Are businesses ownership required? How did you pay them
It's not completely clear. It's self-evident that every business that runs in town benefits some people. You have to rent a storefront, right? That means there's a local landlord that's benefiting. So obviously an incidental benefit is not enough. At what point is enough to say this is called a local business is not clear in halacha. So now, going back to our case of the liquor store, so it seems the new liquor store has a good defense, and they're allowed to open. But now, they wanted to turn the tables with them. Why? Because Amsefer has, in Simon Samach Aleph, has a fascinating tshuva. There was a bacher who was a butcher. And he was a butcher. One day he went home for Yontif, and he had a problem, he got stuck at the border, he couldn't return back to the city. Meanwhile, the governor, who used to collect the tax from all the meat that was sold, he sees the only butcher in town is shut. So he came with his soldiers, busted down the door, pulled the guy off the street, and said, "You are now the new butcher in town." Fellow runs the butcher shop, and he sees it's a very lucrative parnasa. A couple of weeks later, the bacher comes back and says, "Okay, I'm back. Thank you very much for minding the store in my absence, but this is my store, this is my parnasa." Balabas said, "Nothing doing. Nothing doing. I like this job. It's mine. I'm not giving it up." And the Shaya went to the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer gave an incredible psak. He said like this: "What's the halacha of a lav armasa? What does the Gemara say? That if you're coming, if you want to compete with a local, so if you're a resident and he's a resident, no problem. Everyone, you can do what you want. If one's a resident and another person is coming from the outside, he's a lav bar masa, we can stop him. We can say you're a lav bar masa, you don't have the right to come here." Rav Huna adds that even if he's a lav bar masa, even if he's from another town, but ishaich bekarger dehocha lematzi ma'akiv, if he's an outside foreigner, but he's a resident for tax purposes, he pays the local taxes, then he has a din of armasa, you can't stop it. Zokat Sam Sofer. This halach of Hasagas Gevul has nothing to do with where you live. The halach of Hasagas Gevul, Sam Sofer understands, is completely dependent on taxes. Now the way it worked back then is, Bachram didn't pay taxes. There was a marriage tax, marriage penalty, existed back then also. When you were a bacher, you didn't pay taxes. When you got married, you had a family. That's when you started paying taxes. Zok Tuchsam Sofer, although this bacher lived in town, and he had been there for years, if not decades, and although he had this business going on for years as well, since he did not pay any taxes, he had a din of a lav bar masa. And therefore, this new store, there was a legal store, and there was this married person who paid taxes. He has kedima, and therefore fakeret. The married person who's opening up now has the right to throw out the bachur that had been running this business for years. So now, to go back to our liquor store, the first store was being run out of a garage. It had no license. It wasn't paying any taxes. They brought the new store to the Torah and said, "Hasagas Gevul, you're interfering with my parnasa." According to this Chasam Sofer, comes out Punk Faker. The new store that's legal and it's paying taxes is considered a bar masa. The one in the garage, even though it's a resident and he's been there for 30 years, is a lav bar masa. And according to the Chasam Sofer, would come out that it works the other way around. The second store could force the first store to close down. Okay, good. So the question is, when we're dealing with cargo, when we're dealing with taxes, today, Baruch Hashem, we have federal tax, we have local tax, we have state tax, we have, I don't know about monthly, but there's local taxes, you have property tax, which tax are you dealing with? What is it go by? So the Aruch HaShulchan really is maskana. There are different shitas in the tshuvas. The Aruch HaShulchan maskana is, you have to pay all the taxes. Now, this Chasam Sofer is a very big chiddush, because according to it comes out that the Gemara of Bar Masa is all lav dafka, it all depends on taxes. The Gemara really sounds more like there are two halachas. If you can either be a Bar Masa, either a resident. If you're not a resident, if you pay taxes, it's the same halacha. And because of this, the different Malkiel, the Minchas Pitim, and others argue on the Chasam Sofer. So again, I'm not saying this halacha l'maisa, but at least you have a very interesting shaila over who really has kedima. The shaila meshiv in Chelek Aleph Simen Chof has an interesting sort of pshara for his psak. And what he says is as follows. He says, if you have a store, and he's probably going along your lines, this fellow is paying taxes on everything else, but he's not paying all of his taxes on the store. It's a cash business. He says, but at them, you don't have the right to shut him down. If he does his tax evasion, that's between him and the government, it doesn't give you the right to stop him from selling it. However, Zokta Shel Meshev, while you can't shut him down because he's not paying his taxes, he can't shut you down either. And what that means is that if he's going ahead and because he's not paying taxes, he's able to undercut the market, and he's selling it cheaper, and people go to him because he's 6% less or 7% less, that, he says, is awesome. And that an established store has the right to say, listen, you want to cheat on taxes, that's not none of my business, that's your issue. But if you're going to take away my customers because you're charging less because you're not paying the taxes, there the Shaul Meshav says you would have the right to make a machal and to force him to do it. Another point that the Shaul Meshav makes is, although he says that if a person doesn't pay taxes, it's not none of your business, that's between the government and him, you can't make a machal. That applies to a regular tax, sales tax. So as long as he's not undercutting the market, if he's cheating the government, that's his business, that's not your business. However, what happens if you have to buy a license? There's a quota, there's a certain amount of taxes, a certain amount of liquor stores that the government allows, and you have to buy a license. There, the Shaul Meshev says, if a person opens illegally without paying for a license, you have the right to stop him. Because since legally he cannot operate here, and the people who pay for a license, if there are 20 licenses, when you pay for a license, you're paying for the right to be the one of 20 people competing in this industry. So someone else who opens up is interfering and taking away what you've bought, there the Shaul Meshev says you would have the right to stop him.
Regardless of who comes first.
Correct. Correct. When you buy, the government has the right to sell these licenses. Licenses is something which the Chassam Sofer and the Rechaim both say is a clear dina mafusa dina on. And therefore, when you bought the license for the government, you bought the right to be the 1/20th of the business, or at least the opportunity for 1/20th of the business. No, that's again. Had it shut him down, it has to be through Beis Din. Masira is a separate question. But as far as whether you have a taina, there the Shaul Meshev says you would have such a taina.
Both guys, two
people
buy licenses.
We'll get back to that in a minute. Now, let's go back to the original halacha. Morris makes a distinction. If you pay taxes, then you can open, you can compete. If you don't pay taxes, then you can't. Where's this halacha coming from? Since when do halachas depend on the tax code? What difference does it make whether you're paying taxes or not? So the Tshuva to Rashba, Siman Tov Reish Samach Dalet, says that it's Kilu Omer HaMelech She'an She'ir Ahi She'malim Loi Mas Ekarga Yischur V'yisasku Bo V'loi La'acherim. The pshat in this halacha is that we know you have to pay taxes. Dino Machusidino, taxation is the one case where everyone agrees Dino Machusidino. Why do you have to pay taxes? So many of the sheets of the Ran is because the king owns the land, and the king says, you want to live in my country, this is the rent you have to pay. Taxes are the rent you pay to live in the country. And that's why everyone agrees, you have to pay taxes. People grumble, they're not happy, taxes are high, they're going to get even higher, but not many people pick themselves up and move to Somalia. Because it's worth the rent. It's a price worth paying. Zogta Rashba, when the king taxes a specific area, a specific city, so the same way the taxes are a rent to live in it, it's also the rent to do business. What you're basically doing is you're buying the right to do business in this particular city. And that's the pshat in the karga. And that's why the people who pay the taxes have the right to do business. People who do not pay the taxes don't have the right to do business in this city. Now, based on this argument, the Rashdam says, and this is the Rashdam that we saw this morning, that what happens if you live in a city where the king declares this is a free enterprise zone? anyone can come from around the world and do business in this city. Doesn't matter down. These halachas won't apply. The whole yisoid of the halacha is the king is renting the city. Whoever pays taxes can do business, and therefore halacha will enforce it. But if the government clearly says this is free enterprise, anyone can come from wherever they want and compete, so we can't stop them. Now, based on this marajdan, if today you want to go ahead and you want to stop someone from another city because he's out of state and tell him you can't do business here, you're going to have a problem. Constitutionally, the state doesn't have the right to say that people from out of state can't do business here. It's a free country. This is free commerce. And therefore, based on this marajdan, you would not be able to prevent someone from another state from coming in simply because he doesn't pay the local taxes, because the government simply doesn't have that right. Okay, that's true. But the Ran, according to most places, will apply today, even in a democracy. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Even the Chassam Sofer. Okay, well, let's put that aside for a moment. So we come out according to this marajdan, the concept of a la bar masa would only apply to someone who's from another country, and even then, very often legally he has the right to do it, so it'll be limited. But at the very least, someone who's from another state, according to this marajdan, the concept of hasagos gvul would not apply. Marajdan makes another point, and that is that preventing a la bar masa from coming in only makes sense when the bezdin had control of commerce in the city. So then, by preventing a lavar masa, an outsider, from coming in, you're protecting the local taxpayers, and you're enabling them to earn a parnasa. However, if you're competing with goyim, and the goyim don't care much whether a bezdin feels this is a bar masa, a lavar masa, or what the halachas are, Marajdam says these halachas do not apply. It'll depend on the industry. Obviously, some industries your competition is all Jewish, but if you're dealing with an industry that has, you're competing against both Jews and non-Jews, then this svara would apply, and it's a very compelling svara. As far as the first svara of the Marajdam, I didn't find anyone that specifically argued on it, but I'm not sure whether Batei Din follow it completely or not. So now let's go back. We have a halacha of a lavar masa. If someone is from another city, then you can prevent him from doing business. If he is local, or if he is from another state, and according to Rajdam, that you can't stop him either because he has the legal right to do business here. So this would seem to solve a tremendous problem that many people have. Anyone who's in business, especially if you're in manufacturing, what's your biggest problem? China. Right? People coming in from China and selling stuff and undercutting the market. Now, assuming this Chinese factory it's a lav bar masa, forget about the fact there's an importer, but a lot bar masa. We have a wonderful plan. Call into a din Torah and say you're a lot bar masa, you're not paying any local taxes. You have no right to sell your goods on these shores. So although this sounds like a nice idea, the Ramah brings down, it's from a Rimagash. It says like this. The whole halach of a lot bar masa is, we want to protect the town, the taxpayers. Taxpayers are the ones that support the community, that pay the taxes. We need to protect them. The problem is, the taxpayers come in a lot of shapes and sizes. You have the business people who are selling the goods. You also have the customers. They're also taxpayers. So what happens if the lav bar masa is coming in and providing services at a much cheaper price? Or they're providing better goods, better services? There the Rimagash says, nothing doing. The din of hasagos gvul does not apply. Because we can protect the sellers, the merchants, at the expense of the customers. So if they're roughly the same, and just someone wants to open up another store, slightly better location, if he's from La Bar Masa, we can stop him. But, Zok the Rimagash, if there's a significant difference in the price, there we have to be worried about the takanas haloikim. We have to worry about the customers. We have to worry about the other people in the town. And there the halacha will not apply. It has to, the Tshuvas Ramon, Siman Ayin Gimel, says it has to be a significant discount. a minor discount won't qualify. What also comes out, another interesting point from the Rambam, is this heter will apply only on things that are significantly discounted. As let's say if a fellow decides, the Chinese manufacturer comes in and they're selling cameras. And they're selling it at way below market price. Nothing you can do about it. He has the right to come in. It's for the benefit of the buyers. Now, what does the fellow do? He sells you the camera at this great price. But then he tries to sell you a warranty. Or batteries, or whatever it is. And there, on the extended warranty, he socks it to you. And you pay full, at least full price. So on that, we're going to say, slow down. On the camera where you're discounted, you have the right to be here. It's a takanas haloichim. But once you start selling other services or other goods at full price, then we have the right to stop you. That's no longer a takana for the loichim. And therefore, you're going to have to make sure that everything that he's selling is really a takana. If part of the stuff is not going to be that cheap, he's not going to be able to get away with it.
But the loichim don't want to buy a camera in one store and then buy batteries
okay.
in another.
If there's if it rises to a level of takanas haloichim, then ain't a chanami. It will depend on the case.
What about the case where let's say, has a mechanism how to stop this guy? But meanwhile, Goyim are going to come in, and let's say it's going to be the
right. If by stopping him, he'll go away, but now a goy will take his place. That's Rav Dam's point. It doesn't make sense to discriminate and stop a yid when a goy will come in. On the other hand, if your business is selling svarim or something where there's no real chashash that a goy is going to come in, there these halachos will apply. Correct. 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 A Yiddish business, or there are certain industries where people want to deal specifically with Jews, whatever the reasons are. And there you would have this argument. But in general, if you're competing, over the internet or something just generic, then these halachos won't apply. Anyway, Lav, go figure out what a Lav Armas on the internet is. So this is the halacha of a Lav Armas. That if someone's from out of town, then you have the right to stop him. Now it's clear these halachas are not the same as, it's not a regular haslagos gavul, it's a protection made to protect the local businesses, to protect the local taxpayers. Masha Enkein, if you're dealing with both businesses, you're dealing with local businesses, there we have a machlokes in the Gemara, and the maskana of Rav Huna Brev Rav Yeshua is that a local business, a local resident, you have no right to stop him. And the reason is because he's oisib b'teich shalai. Simply because one person is a little bit older and started the business first doesn't mean that no one else can earn a parnasa. Everyone in the city needs to have a parnasa. Everyone needs to have a business. Whoever opens first is not zoicha. He didn't buy anything. He didn't gain anything. And therefore, anyone is basically free to compete. And that's the halacha. That's the maskana of the Gemara. And that is the halacha psuka. However, as we'll see more next week, there are a list of situations where Hasagos Gavul will apply. And what these cases all have in common is that the reason why there's no Isra Hasagos Gavul normally is, you're not interfering directly with the other person. You have your Parnasa, I have my Parnasa, whoever Rabbi Yishlom wants to send to me will come to me, whoever Rabbi Yishlom wants to send to you will come to you, and that's the way the world works. However, if one business goes ahead and does something that will interfere with the other business, where it crosses over the line, it's not just healthy and free competition, it's something which will directly impact the other business, the other store, there we're going to see there are many instances where the Pleiskim did say there's an Isra of Hasagos Gavul, and the Mitzvah Shem will go through those cases next week. Thank you. So the Chazainish says that you're 100% right. The Hashkafa is not that if the person is crossing over that line, suddenly I'm finished, the Rebbeinu Shalom can't take care of me. He says that the Hashkafa is fakert. Why do you have a business in the first place? You have to hishtablus. You can't sit home and just say the Parnassah will come. What is your hishtablus? How far does it go? So to the extent that what he's doing is mutter, your hishtablus is ignore him, you run your business, and you'll be okay. The moment he goes ahead and steps over the line, then your ishtadlis is this is my business and I have the right to protect it. Just like if someone robs you, you have the right to stop him, and it's all part of your hishtadlus. Once he crosses over that line, and okay, halacha, he shouldn't be doing it, then your hishtadlus includes protecting what's yours. And therefore, enechanami, the fight, or why you're upset with him, has to be with that in mind. Thank you.